Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our expository study of the Epistle of Paul to the Church at Ephesus. We've titled this study, The Believer's Inheritance, as we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. The main focus of our study is to emphasize the reality that our reward ultimately is in heaven. God blesses us down here in the here and now, but this is only a temporary taste of the reward to come. And our reward is based upon our heart attitude and our service for the Lord during this lifetime. And that's why we put our efforts into preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost souls and teaching the King James Bible to the saved locally and internationally by means of the local church meetings, local radio broadcasts, and by the internet. And the broadcasts that are placed on sites like YouTube and Sermon Audio, as well as our own website, bbfohio.com, and our 24/7 bbfohioradio.com site. And we love hearing from listeners and viewers, but we do want to assure you that if you indicate that your letter is confidential, we will not share that information. And we also avoid anything too personal or private, even if the letter writer does not specify confidentiality. But folks have made it clear that they do love to hear from fellow listeners and to share in their testimony of what the Lord has done in their lives. And with that in mind, we'd like to share part of a letter from a brother, Mark, in Pennsylvania. Mark writes, "Thank you for your videos. I struggle with learning throughout my life, being labeled a slow learner in school, and also living with chronic headaches due to a car accident in the mid-80s. But I continue to study my King James Bible even when most people disagree with me about my views. I know the 1611 King James Bible is the true Word of God. Thank you for helping me grow in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Sincerely, Brother Mark." Mark, letters like that remind us of how important the Bible preaching ministry is, and it is our pleasure to serve you. And folks, it is a pleasure to serve all of you who are listening or watching the video versions of these messages and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We simply consider it a privilege and a thrill to be used of God in any way to further the spread of the gospel and increase the knowledge of His book in these last days. If you would like to write, you can send an email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That's three B's, the letter F and Ohio, bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. That address again is P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. We would love to hear from you. And now we join our study in progress with an opening song by a precious sister in Christ, Sister Tracy Jones. And she sang Through It All as we showed a slideshow of the wedding that we had performed the previous day as two of our young people at BBF, Andrew and Mary, tied the knot. So you'll see those if you're viewing this on video. And at the end of the song, we go right into our study of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, titled, The Believer's Inheritance.
I can help you.
I have many tears and sorrows. I have questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, God's blessing, consolation, that my trials come to only make me strong.
I'm
Let's get into the book. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 11 and 12 and take a close look at what we're continuing our study verse by verse, the way God wrote it,
Amen.
The way God gave it, the way He expects us to read it and teach it. And we're going to open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for everyone here today. We thank You for this opportunity to study Your Word. Lord, I just want to present what You've taught me and help these folks so that when they read the Bible 7 days a week, what they learn here will help them in understanding the text, and then with prayer help them as You work and mold our lives into the shape and form You want them to be, which is in the image of Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that there's coming a day where, however far along we are in that process, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we will be as He is. We will be in His presence. We will be just in a state that we can't even imagine, in a state of glory. We will have put on His glory. And Lord, we just thank You for that and pray You help us as we study this to keep all that in mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. The believer's inheritance. That's what we've titled this, The Believer's Inheritance. And we're going to go ahead and open with the text. Ephesians 1, we'll read verses 11 and 12. So if you would, read that with me. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't God's Word good?
Amen.
Jenny and I were listening to a preacher that I'm sure Tracy doesn't know, but it was you heard Tracy mention the apostolic faith, and this fellow was of the apostolic faith. And it was very strange because he was basically rebuking the denomination he's in because they just take a Bible verse from anywhere and go anywhere they want to with it. And I thought, well, if they didn't do that, they wouldn't have a denomination. Amen?
Amen.
And we have been studying verse by verse through Ephesians 1, the 10 previous verses. We've established that God has chosen believers to be predestinated to adoption because we are accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
You get that in reverse order, you are a Calvinist.
Yeah.
But you stick to the book, and you're... Not, by the way, we're not Armenian either.
Amen.
You'll have people say, well, you Arminians. No. Don't throw that label on me. I'm not an Arminian. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm a Bible believer.
Amen.
And the Arminians have God up there wringing his hands, not sure what's going on, and you could lose your salvation. And, you know, how many times you've been saved? Oh, about 15. How about you? You know? And the question is, are you saved? And if you are, you're eternally saved.
Amen.
And so the Calvinists say that the gospel has nothing to do with you being saved. Did you know that?
Yeah.
The Calvinists say if you're saved, it's because God unconditionally elected you, and then through His irresistible grace, He regenerates you so that when you hear the gospel, you'll believe and be saved. That's Calvinism. The Arminian says that you have a divine spark in you that makes you want to be saved. And so you go looking for God. And, oh, God's so happy that you found Him. But once you do, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not. You could lose it. That's you! Oh, I lost it. Aren't you glad that your salvation, number one, isn't based on whether or not you're a part of the particular elect that were chosen to be saved?
Amen.
I'm glad I'm not. That's not how it is.
Amen.
I'm glad that every human being alive can believe and be saved.
Amen. Amen.
But I'm also glad that once He saves me, I'm not walking a tightrope, hoping not to fall off and lose it.
Amen.
That I'm in His hand. I'm in the Father's hand. No man can pluck me
Amen.
From it.
Praise the Lord.
So that's not Calvinism. That's not Arminianism. That's the Bible.
Amen. Thank you.
And this is because of Jesus Christ, who redeemed us by His blood, forgave our sins, and made known the mystery of His will, to gather all things in Christ in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Those two paragraphs you just saw is a synopsis of the previous 10 verses and what we've been learning, what we've been studying. And on top of all of this that we've already learned, we have a future inheritance.
Amen.
It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Unless you're in the NIV, then you get back into Calvinism. It doesn't say, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In the NIV it says, in Him we were also chosen. Now, the idea is that the new versions are just supposed to update the language, right? That is not the same thing. That is... The NIV is Looney Tunes. That's what it is. I think three or four of you want to add that to the praise book.
I think the Looney Tunes would be more interesting.
How is in Him we were also chosen the same as what you got in your King James Bible? It's not. Claims that this is a better rendering of the text are simply false.
Amen.
It's just a lie.
Amen.
They are changing God's words.
Yeah.
Now, you can go out and find this, and if you don't like Peter Ruckman, this didn't have anything to do with Peter Ruckman. It has to do with a debate between Peter Ruckman and the head of the NIV committee. And Ruckman blows the guy away. The guy just kind of stands up like, I have no idea how to respond to this man. But as you're listening, keep in mind that that man is a hardcore five-point Calvinist. And what you find is the reason why the NIV is changed, not even just based on the text they use, which is corrupt, but beyond that corrupt text, they change things like this.
Yeah.
There's no textual basis for that change. They just, why? Because the Calvinists, they tried to make the NIV a Calvinist translation. And the ESV, that's the big one now, and that is also a Calvinist corrupted translation.
Amen.
What's even more interesting about the ESV is that it originally came from the RSV. The RSV, if you were here to see Agenda 2, the RSV was a product of the National Council of Churches, a communist organization. And now you got these guys, like most of the big-time evangelical preachers, are telling you to use that Bible.
Yeah.
They are literally telling you to use a communist Bible.
Yep.
ESV. The NIV is satanic confusion.
Amen.
It's the only way to put it.
Amen.
Stick to the authorized King James Bible. That's what I have to say about that.
Amen.
Just stick to the King James Bible. If you want to be confused, go read the New Versions. If you want not to be confused, but to learn the truth, stick to the King James Bible.
Amen.
Now the real Bible says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Isn't that much better?
Yeah.
It's not only true, but just in a practical sense. I'm glad to know we have an inheritance. And it says we have obtained an inheritance, and that's by believing the gospel and being saved, then you have all these wonderful spiritual blessings in heavenly places that are poured out on you.
Amen.
And that's what the predestination thing is about. It's not you were predestined by God. He looked down on the future time and chose to save you and you and you and then to hell with the rest of you. That's Calvinism. That's not Bible. But God has looked out on the future and known those who are His, who believe on Jesus and are saved. And He has predestinated that every one of you who chose to believe the gospel, you are adopted. He's made you accepted in the Beloved. You're redeemed. You're forgiven by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And on top of all that, you have an inheritance.
Amen.
Amen. Because listen, there are plenty of people who have been adopted by wealthy people, and when that wealthy person died, they didn't get any of it. And God could have done that to you and me. God could have said, you know what, I'm going to save you from hell, but then you're pretty much going to live, you know, in this condition you're in now and for eternity. But at least you're not in hell. You know, He could have done that. He would have been justified. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve to be accepted in the Beloved. We don't deserve to be adopted. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve to have an inheritance. Ain't God good?
Amen.
You start to think about, all I want's what I deserve. You're crazy. I don't want what I deserve. I want what God's got planned for me.
Amen.
And a whole lot better than what I deserve. The promised inheritance, we could run a lot of references on this, but Colossians chapter 3, verse 24 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
Amen.
Now, if you want to live in the fluffy ozone of theology and, you know, I'm just saved, that's all I know. All I know is I'm saved. Amen, amen. I've gone to churches where that's a testimony. I don't know nothing else, but I know I'm saved. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Everybody's like, oh, glory, glory, glory. Now let's speak in tongues. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what am I missing here? I'm not happy with just knowing that I'm saved because God gave me an entire book of information.
Amen.
I want to know about my future. I like to talk about home.
Amen.
You know, on a natural level. You know, nothing against y'all city slickers up here, but I was born and raised in Southern Ohio.
Amen.
We only locked our doors at night when we went to sleep. Not where I live now. And I live in one of the better neighborhoods. We lock our door all the time. I like to think about home, the way it used to be. Used to be able to just get a fishing pole, go off, say, Mom, I'll see you at dinner time. Okay. No cell phone. Nothing. Just go off, fish, cast, oh yeah, lay back, have a little transistor radio on, listen to Cincinnati Reds or whatever. Now, some of you are thinking, that sounds boring, but boy, to me, that's heaven.
Oh, great.
I love it. Hey, well, you could go, I got on my bike, I used to be in good shape, and I would get on my bike and I would ride that thing all stinking day long.
Yeah.
That would kill me now. But back then, right up the hills, down all over the place, creeks, you know, everything. And my mom and dad didn't worry about me. Man, you do that now, you got an Amber Alert going out.
Right.
Yeah. And that's looking back, and you say, well, you're looking through rose-colored glasses. No, I'm telling you, it was different.
It was.
But as good as that was, my grandma just lived down the road. You know, we'd go over there and get those fresh baked rolls. You know, and all that homemade, everything made from scratch. And, you know, real ingredients, you know. And just go, oh, it's just unreal. All those memories, you know, I love to talk. But if you start to dig in the Scripture, you start to really learn what God has said about our home, you'll want to talk and think and sing a lot about your future home.
Amen.
That's why you look in the old songs, the hymn books and everything, they sing a lot about heaven.
Amen.
This, what, and I hate to say it again, but it's just the best example. What's the big sellers now? Your best life now.
Mm-hmm.
Purpose-driven life. And then you get in there, and what is it? It's telling you, how many of you read the Purpose-Driven Life? Okay. Did you notice that it's all focused in the here and now, and even tells you that you have no business studying prophecy? I read it. It's in there. Tells you that you shouldn't worry about or even think about the second coming, that you should just all worry about right now, the here and now. And I'm here to tell you that if you become self-focused on this life now, and the so-called purpose-driven life, you will drive yourself crazy. There's a reason why God tells us so much about our future.
Amen.
It's not so that we'll check out either. We're not, you know, I'm not saying, okay, and I'm about to announce we've bought land and we're going to build a compound and we want everybody to sell everything you have. We're all going to wear black and white all the time. I'm wearing black because I spill coffee. The rest of you can wear white. We're going to go out in the middle of nowhere. All the men have to grow beards and shave their mustache and, you know, all these stuff. And we go out in the middle of nowhere and we're going to totally cut ourselves off from the world so that we can be heavenly focused. And that's happened over and over and over. I mean, the Amish are an example of that. I was telling some folks about the Hutterites. And there are groups like that, the Shakers and the Quakers, you know, and all these groups through the years who did this stuff. And the reason was is because they had the right idea at first. They wanted to get out of the world and be about their reward in heaven. They wanted to love people and be charitable, and they wanted to preach the gospel. But then it went overboard into a Christianized form of communism. And they decided they were going to totally separate to the point where they're not even in the world. And see, we're supposed to be in the world, not of the world.
Amen.
We're to be in the world and to serve as ambassadors.
Amen.
And to be a representative. But one of the things that the world around you, that's all your unsaved loved ones, family members, friends, co-workers, whoever they are, what they should notice about you is that you're not invested in this world. You're invested in heaven. You're invested in the world to come. You're still here, still working, paying your bills, doing those things that you need to do, but your heart is somewhere else. People should notice that about you. Let's see what Peter says about this inheritance by turning to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Once you get in turn there, we're going to talk about this passage for just a few minutes. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 3. And Peter discusses this inheritance. And we'll begin in verse 3. I'll read this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. That's talking about being born again. Keep in mind, there's a lot of people out there teaching you now that you're not born again until after the rapture. Believe it or not, that's a teaching. Paul speaks of the new birth, but Peter here says, which according to His abundant mercy hath, to a believer, he's talking in past tense. Hath begotten us again. You're born again. Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, He conquered sin and death, demonstrated His power as God manifest in the flesh to save you. And when He saves you, it's called the new birth. And so you have a lively hope, meaning it's a living, constant hope that you ought to have all the time, no matter what your circumstances. Read verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You see that? That's why there's nothing wrong with comfort in this world. The apostles, don't get the wrong idea, the apostles weren't like the monks of the Middle Ages that went around flogging themselves with shards and causing themselves to bleed and walking on their knees till their knees bled and sleeping on rocks without a cover and all these things that these pagan, superstitious Roman Catholic monks did because they were trying to basically earn their way to heaven. What the apostles did do, though, was they had the right perspective on the things that they had. Like, you know, Paul would say, "Hey, when you come, could you bring my books? I kind of miss my books." And you know, he didn't have a problem with possessions. And Jesus, when he left, you know, right before he left, he told him that you know, that little scripty purse, you ought to probably sell that and get a sword. Jesus was pro Second Amendment. And he said, you know, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm not going to be here to rebuke that, whether it's a wolf or a robber. Jesus said, I'm going to be on. You're going to be kind of on your own here. You're going to take care of yourself. And so that's why he taught that. He didn't teach against possessions. This idea today of like anti-capitalism, anti-possessions for Christians, it's not Bible. But what he did say is, you should possess those things. But those things, now I'm paraphrasing, and this is not new to me, I've heard this before, but those things should not possess you. See? So you got a nice car, got a nice house, got nice clothes and all those things. I like being comfortable. Heating and air conditioning. You need it. Some days you need them both in Ohio. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
What if something happens and you don't have those things? What happens to some people is they totally quit on God. They just throw Him to the side. Because why? Because He was nothing to them but a genie in a bottle. Excuse me. He was, rub the genie. Poof. Ah, there's my God. I need something. Thank you. You know, that's their God. Well, if that's the kind of God it's a figment of your imagination.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.